Misfits, you've heard me talk about my trading and investing many times. I've been in the game for almost 20 years and have taught thousands of students all over the world my strategies. One thing I've always looked for are trends that are a good opportunity for investors. Recently, I was introduced to an opportunity that may be positioned very well for the times that we are in. In fact, after some research, I saw this company is not only debt-free with millions in the bank, but they are also the only gold company in the world that will commence production in the second half of 2022. On top of that, they are drilling and mining in some of the best new spots in the world, and 90% of their property has never been mined and drilled, and they just began their largest project in company history. The company is called Blue Lagoon Resources, ticker symbol BLAGF. BLAGF operates gold mining operations throughout the world and is especially poised to take advantage of the coveted Dome Mountain area in British Columbia. The company is being invested in and backed by many longtime gold players such as Dr. Quentin Henney, an economic geologist with 25 years of exploration experience, mainly gold-related. Now, with gold approaching all-time highs, it's poised to reap the benefits. I've always loved gold as a store of value and a hedge against inflation, and have traded many companies like Blue Lagoon who have appreciated hundreds of percent. While no one can guarantee that will happen with Blue Lagoon, and I'm not giving you financial advice, you should absolutely consult your financial advisor, I do see great opportunity for the company, and the fact that they are debt-free and being pursued by major gold players is a good sign. To learn more about Blue Lagoon Resources and stay up to date with the company's success, go to www.bluelagoonresources.com. Again, that's bluelagoonresources.com, and search the ticker symbol BLAGF wherever stocks are found. Consult your financial advisor and check out BLAGF today. Hello, Misfit Nation. This is Dave Lucas, and welcome to another episode of the Misfit Entrepreneur, where it is our job to help you unleash your inner misfit and break through to higher levels of success, wealth, and fulfillment by bringing you the best insight and information from the world's top entrepreneurs, with a specific focus on their misfit side, the specific traits, habits, and secrets that have allowed them to thrive and succeed. This week's Misfit Entrepreneur is Ari Galper. Ari is the world's number one authority on trust-based selling. He's the best-selling author of Unlock the Sales Game, a must-read, by the way, and The One Call Sale. He's been featured everywhere from Forbes to Inc., CNN, and he's sought after by business owners, entrepreneurs, and major corporations like Citibank and GE to help them improve their sales organizations. But the thing I'm most excited for Ari to share is the journey he took to become who he is. In some ways, it parallels my own journey with the Misfit Entrepreneurs. We both have a very special why for what we do in our lives. And of course, we're going to talk a lot about things around sales and selling too. So let's jump in. Ari, are you ready to unleash your inner misfit?
Absolutely, Dave. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Well, hey, it's great to have you on. You are a American transplant in Australia, from what we've discussed before. Whereabouts in Australia are you?
I now live in Sydney, near the Opera House. And if you know the area here, it's near Bondi Beach, but I originally from California.
That's a wonderful area there. Anybody who's ever been to Australia who's been there and been like that to the Bondi or the Manly area, all that's a beautiful area. And that kind of is a segue into your story. You know, we always start with each guest telling their story. You from California, you're in Australia, you're now the world's leader in trust-based selling. Take 3 to 5 minutes. Just tell us, how'd you get to where you're at?
Sure. Well, on the personal side, I met my wife on a dating site 20 years ago. This is pre-swiping. This is like, photo and text. That's pretty much it. And she's from Sydney, was working in Los Angeles at the time. And I'm from San Diego. We started communicating online via email back then. Then we started dating. And then she says to me, why don't you come out and visit my family in Australia? I was like, whoa, that's a lot. It's a far away from me, but I'll give it a try. So we came out here. We got engaged and married here, and then we decided to start our lives in California. And after about 6 months of being there, a gift came to our lives, and that's our son, Toby. And because he has special needs, we decided to move him out to Australia. He has Down syndrome, and at first, we didn't know what that meant to our lives when we realized what a gift honor we had in our hands. And if you know somebody who has Down syndrome, you know they're very loving, they have no hidden agenda, they're transparent. And he inspired me so much. I wrote a book about him called Lessons from Toby, which is a lot of my philosophy of how I teach people how to sell with authenticity and trust. So that kind of wraps up sort of how I got here. I've been here for 20 years now, and yeah, I've been doing this global program for 2 decades and still growing.
And prior to that, you were in professional sales, I think, with companies like UPS and others. Is that right?
Yeah. High tech, software. And there's a story behind this and how I came up with the trust by selling concept. If you want me to share that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so I used to be a sales manager at a software company, and we launched the first online website tracking tools to collect visitor behavior going through websites. Now it's called Google Analytics. You may have heard of that one, but that was just it was
a,
actually
just a little,
you know, cost money.
Yeah,
a little one, but now it's free, but ours cost money back then. And so I was managing 18 reps underneath me at the time. And the big leads came across my desk, the big opportunities. And this one contact I called back, and he worked for a huge company, big opportunity, lots of websites. If I closed this one sale, Dave, it would double the revenue in one transaction. That's how big it was. So he agreed to a conference call and a demo to see our product. And they finally came 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. I remember I was in the conference room with my CEO. I closed her behind me, big long conference table. In the middle of the table is the old school speakerphone, you know, the three legs on it, kind of black looking phones, Star Trek looking phones.
Usually like a Avaya or something like that, if I remember.
Yeah, exactly. And and I hit the dial tone and dial the number. He picks it up. He's like, "Hey, Ari, how's it going?" And he says to me, "Ari, let us tell you who's with us in the room today." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Didn't realize there'd be someone else there. Next thing I hear is, "My name is Mike, I'm CEO." And I was like, "Oh, this is good. My name is Julie, I'm head of global marketing." Even better. "My name is Chris, I'm head of global IT." Fantastic. I mean, everybody on this call was a decision maker. Like, if this is gonna happen, it's gonna happen today, right? Because we're all there. So I described what we do, then we all logged in, and I started them walking through a web demo of how our product works on our websites, and start showing this to them in real time. And as I'm clicking around, showing this to them, I start hearing this noise on the phone call, like, "Wow, this is great. This is amazing. I can't believe this. We can see all this." They start asking me all kinds of questions. How does it work? How do we install it? Who are your clients? You know, of course, I had all the answers. There was so much chemistry on this phone call. It was like a love fest on the phone. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it was just, they had the questions. I had the answers. There was no resistance on this call. It was like the perfect sales call. An hour goes by and I'm doing my thing I was taught to do in sales, build rapport, relationships, answer objections, everything I was taught to do. And the call came to a close and my guy says to me, "Ari, this is great. Look, give us a call a couple of weeks, follow up with us, and we'll move this thing forward." And I was like, "Oh, perfect. What a great ending to the call." I was so excited. And the call comes to a close, and as I'm reaching for the speakerphone to hit the off button, by accident, I hit the mute button instead of the off button, and they thought I'll hang up the phone. And a small click happened when I hit the mute button, and they started talking, thinking I had left the call. And that split second, I pulled my thumb back just for a couple of seconds, and I said to myself, "Ari, go to the dark side. Go where no one's ever gone before in the world of sales. You have nothing to lose. Just listen in for a couple seconds." So they started talking amongst themselves, thinking I had left the call. Now, this is not a trick question, but what would you expect them to accept after a call like that? What would you imagine that you'd hear after a call like that?
Usually, if it's that good, right, you're anybody's thinking, you know, they're going to be talking about how, "Hey, this is a great solution for us. Let's talk about how we can negotiate a good deal here." You know, all the buying signals you'd want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd expect reasonable things like that. But let me share with you what I heard verbatim, word for word. I'll never forget it. It's why we're here today. They said this. They said, "We're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information and make sure we shop someplace else cheaper." Knife in heart twist. I was in a state of shock. I mean, I could not believe it. And I finally snapped out of it, hit the off button, hit the wall, and I said to myself, "What did I do wrong? I was competent. I was professional. I was friendly. I did everything I was supposed to do in the sales books I read and the events I went to, and I was a student. And And I asked myself, what is going on here? And I had epiphany, and you can tell me what you think about this, that somewhere along the way, it has become socially acceptable not to tell the truth to people who sell, right? It's okay to say things like, sounds good, send me information, we're definitely interested. Wait, send me a proposal without having any intention of buying at all, right? And then I asked myself, why were they afraid to just tell me the truth? Why all the games? And I realized that there's this invisible river of pressure that flows underneath every sales conversation you have with someone in your sales process. And unless you're aware of that pressure and know how to remove it, you'll always be fighting against that wall that's up all the time between you and them, where you're trying to get to the truth and they're holding back on you, and you're stuck on what I call the sales game. That's where you end up chasing ghosts, playing, you know, the numbers game, and you get stuck in this dysfunctional behavior with people where you never know where you stand, and it's terrible. It's dehumanizing. So I decided to unlock that game, as I call it, and built my own methodology and process around how to shift your mindset away from the goal of the sale and instead to build deep trust with people where they feel vulnerable and comfortable enough opening up to you and telling you the truth. And that became our whole philosophy, which is still growing today, which is how to get to the truth of people, which ironically doubles your sales. So that's the whole story behind our trust-based selling concept.
So I want to dig into this, but I want to start from a different arena, because you alluded to it a little bit earlier, and you talked about, like, you have your lessons for book for your son, and I've got lessons for Hannah that I do as part of this podcast and everything. And so you credit learning to be Toby's dad as really your breakthrough on how to sell the right way, make more sales, really this process, right? So what is it that you learned? Like, what was the epiphany in working with Toby and as a father that helped you do that?
And I see it every day today. I see how he's evolving as a young man. He's now 18 years old. And I see how he has no hidden agenda with people. He's so honest and open with them. He doesn't carry a shield around him that we sometimes carry when we leave our homes, we go to work, we put these sales armor on us, and we change our behavior unconsciously. He just lives in his authenticity and his integrity. And I said to myself, gosh, if one day he went into sales, how would he be? He'd be like amazing, because people would love to work with him and be his client, because they know where they stand with him. He's not in a sales process. He's not playing a game with people. And that's where that thinking that I wrote about him in that book, Lessons from Toby, is what gave me the confidence and the centeredness to be able to build my program out to help people, what I call detox from their old way of selling, the subconscious way of doing certain things and behaviors that still get them trapped today unknowingly and make them hate the idea of selling. And if you can kind of transform in this way of thinking, your life and fortunes will change forever, as I've learned from my clients.
So that brings me to kind of the loaded question then. What are the majority of companies and people doing wrong in their approach to sales and selling?
Well, that's a great question, because most people are still living in these myths that they think that selling's about. Like, the quite a classic one is this one, that sales is a numbers game. That the more contacts you make, the more calls you make, you're supposed to make more sales. Well, we discover in this economy now, it's not about how many calls you make anymore or how many contacts you make. It's about how deep you go on each conversation, how good you are at trust building, not how good you are how many contacts you make. The other myth that a lot of people still use these days is the idea that sale is lost at the end of the process. And we discovered that no, the sale is now lost at the beginning of the process, at hello. And I'll prove it to you right now in a fun way. If someone calls your office tomorrow morning and you hear, hi, my name is, I'm with, we are a, what goes through your mind in about 3 seconds?
Sales call.
It's over at hello. And I'll make the case today that many of your folks listening today are losing their sales opportunities, not at the end of the process, they're losing it at the beginning. And the last big notion is this idea that rejection is part of the game. You got to be tough enough, thick-skinned enough to get out there and be successful. Well, we discovered that sales rejection is actually triggered by certain things you say and do unconsciously that cause the other person to play the game with you and tell you what you want to hear, and you end up chasing these ghosts, as I call them. And we'll debunk some of that today as well.
So let's dig into a little bit of that. Before we do, just to level set, define trust-based selling then. You've alluded to it a little bit, what we've talked about, but just define, here's what trust-based selling is, and then I want to get into those items that you just mentioned more in depth.
Sure. So trust-based selling is the redefinition of selling as you know it, where you no longer focus on making the sale. You don't focus on your goal. You focus only on their goal. 100% authentic, where you are focused on going deep underneath their problem to the level where they feel that you fully get them. You know, when you meet someone at a party, and you say to yourself, oh, he just gets me, just understands me. See, that makes it all about them. Trust-based selling is how to make the process all about them and not about you. When you make that shift, you'd be amazed at how quickly people jump towards wanting to work with you, because no longer do they feel that you're after your own agenda.
So take us through that process. Like, how do I, you know, as a salesperson or a entrepreneur, a leader, how do I get people to say, they get me? I want to open up to, you know, how do you get to what the real problem is for people, right? So how do you do that?
Sure. So I'll walk you through how you do that. And we teach that through our two core principles and using what we call trust-based languaging. Words and phrases to activate this that are not scripted, but are natural languaging to elicit and let people know that's where you're at and you're different than everyone else. And I'll give you examples. So our one core principle is the idea of always be diffusing pressure, taking pressure out of the conversation to allow the truth to emerge. Here's an example. Let's say you're having a first call with somebody over the phone. Good opportunity, great chemistry, looks like a good fit for you, and the call kind of comes to an end. Usually in sales, we say things like what? We say things like, well, hey, how about we get together, move forward, have a cup of coffee, meet on Zoom. We're conditioned when we sense an opportunity to do what? To move things forward, right? That's right. A typical way of thinking sales. But what happens if you attempt to move things forward and they aren't ready yet? What do you break with them right there and then early in your process?
Yeah, it's gonna throw them
you
off.
Break trust.
Yeah, it breaks the trust. Right. Go ahead.
Exactly. So same scenario, okay? Our mindset, our languaging, call's going well, good chemistry, looks like a good fit, call comes to a close, right? Saying, hey, how about we move forward? What we say instead is this. We say, where do you think we should go from here? And I'll say it again. Where do you think we should go from here?
You know, it makes a lot of sense, and it's a very simple transition or change to that part of the process. And the reason that it makes sense, at least to me, is that people support what they help to create. And this gives them the ability to have not you just telling them what the next step's going to be and dragging you along, but to give them the choice and to tell you what the next step should be, which engages them and makes them part of the process, which makes them own part of the process. You know, people rarely resist their own ideas. And so that's something I'll always live by in you know, when I was in professional sales. And so understanding how people think and letting them have a say in the process was a great way to make them part of it, but also to learn their ideas and understand where the real places you could help them are.
When you say to somebody, where do you think we should go from here? They're usually in a state of shock. They can't believe somebody in business would actually ask them what they want to do. That is so contrarian. That is so unheard of, because they're so used to being taken down a linear sales process that immediately puts their guard up. You see? And that's the magic here, is when you can insert our trust-based languaging with the right mindset, you can reactivate the relationship in a way where they feel you truly care about them.
Well, and the key to that is you You better, because if you don't, they're going to see through that. I think that's the other side of it, as you mentioned, authenticity and being genuine. If you aren't, that'll eventually see through. So you have to be that person as well. In fact, it's a great place. I want to take a quick 1 minute break here because I want to dig into this in a couple something else you said about the sale being lost at Hello. So let's just take a 1 minute break. We'll be right back. Misfits, I just love that sound. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. You've no doubt heard of Shopify before, but if you haven't checked out the platform and all it does for you, you're missing out. It's designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business, customized for my needs. With a great-looking online store that brings my idea to life and the tools to manage my day-to-day and drive sales. And it'll do the same for you. Making your idea real opens endless possibilities. It's a journey, but that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. But we don't have to make it unnecessarily hard on ourselves. Years ago, when I started my first online businesses, it was crazy. I had to piece everything together with different platforms and from all over the place. It was like a Frankenstein. I would have done anything for a solution like Shopify, and that's why I love it so much. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business, and they power millions of entrepreneurs just like you and me from first sale to full scale. Every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify, and you can get started easily by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience, access to powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. You even gain knowledge and confidence with the extensive resources that they give you to help you succeed. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. The possibility, all powered by Shopify. And right now, Shopify is giving Misfit listeners a 14-day free trial. Just go to www.shopify.com/misfit, all lowercase. Start selling on Shopify literally today. Go to www.shopify.com/misfit right now. Again, that's shopify.com/misfit for a free 14-day trial. Okay, Ari, before the break, we were obviously digging into the process around trust-based selling and all of that. And you shared some really great stuff about how to engage people, how to help things along by having them have a choice and a decision in what happens next. But you also said the sale is lost at Hello. So before you even get to that point where you say, you know, where should we go next, you've got to get through that. So why is the sale lost at Hello? And what do people need to do differently at the Hello to even get to those next stages?
Definitely. Well, we've been conditioned over the years that we think our job is to begin and start a relationship with someone at Hello, right? We heard that before. Build relationships, right? That's how you start with someone in your sales process. Well, I'll throw out a bomb here. And my whole take on this is that relationship building and trust building are mutually exclusive. What that means is you're trying to lay on thick the whole, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. The whole relationship part with somebody you don't even know yet. One, they know it's fake. Two, they don't want to even be your friend. They want their problem solved. And we make the mistake all the time by trying to become friendly with them and them liking us and then hoping they like us, it'll all go well. That's like 1980s sort of this relationship thing where you got to get there, they got to like and know you first. Well, in many cases, they don't even need to like you. It's like a doctor-patient relationship. When you go see a doctor, they don't try and become your friend because they know. If they mix social norms and the business norms, it'll be very messy when they tell you what prescription to take to solve your problem. So in our world, our clients don't, I tell my clients this, build relationships after the sale, not before the sale. Because they know it's fake at Hello. So instead, what you do is you become the doctor, you diagnose their problem, you peel back their issues, and you help them go to a place about their own issues that they themselves don't even know about. And that creates this moment of, man, he just gets me and he's so in my world right now. He's not trying to get me to like him. He really wants to understand what my issue is. And that's the real shift of how not to lose the sale at Hello.
So give an example of an approach to, you know, first call somebody's going to make, you know, to a prospect. what are they saying differently than, hello, my name is, I work for, we do, you know, and so on? What's the shift?
Sure. So we have different entry points. There's outbound, inbound. But on the outbound model, you know, the typical thing is, hi, my name is, I'm with We Are. And of course, when they hear that, it's over. So here's how we approach it. Hi, my name's Ari, and I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment. That's how we start. And you can notice the tonality there and the lowering of my voice, because no longer am I a bull in a china shop. Now I'm someone asking for help who is humbly wanting to connect, and what human nature is to step into that empty space and say this, how can I help you? That's called a two-way dialogue at hello for people struggling to make that connection. Then I'd say, I'm just giving you a call to see if you'd be open to some different ideas and insights and on how to address the issue of, and you plug in the problem right there that you believe they're having in your market, the problems you help your clients solve. Notice that whole approach was void of anything about you, even your company, even your solutions. It's not about you. It's your ability to connect into their world at hello that builds that trust. The minute you divert back to your solution and your business and your offering and this, it's over. They know they're in the game. They're nice to you, but boy, they shut down real quick inside.
Yeah, now, I also, asking the question also activates the mind. So we've talked a lot on the show about great questions and what they can do, as well as the fact that if you just say no to something, your mind shuts down. If you say how to something, then your mind activates. So when you ask the question of them, their mind starts to activate instead of just, hi, my name is so on, so on. No, not interested. The mind shuts down. So I can understand the psychology of how that works and everything too. So that makes a ton of sense. Going down this path further, obviously, I mean, you wrote the book and this stuff's in the book because I read it, Unlock the Sales Game. I found it interesting that you compare unlocking the sales game to the Japanese martial art of Aikido. Explain that.
Sure. So I did Aikido for many years. And if you know that art, the whole art of Aikido is no resistance. So typically in karate or taekwondo, when someone comes at you, you either block or you punch back. Resistance against resistance. With Aikido, if someone comes at you, you don't resist it. You deflect and you diverge their energy to the point where no one gets hurt at the end to control the process. And it's the same concept here. So when you sense pressure or tension or resistance in the sales process, you're conditioned to either do two responses, fight or flight, back away or overcome. With our approach, and I've better the Aikido approach into it, our goal is when we hit resistance in our process, we don't try to overcome it. We diffuse it and re-engage again. I'll give you an example with an objection. Let's say someone says to you, Dave, your fees is too high. Your price is too high. It's a common objection people get, right, yeah, in the market. We're triggered to defend ourselves and say things like, well, I've got, you know, the best clients, or I've been around for 20 years, or I can help you, or compared to what? See, we try and fight the battle. We've been trained to defend ourselves. But our approach, if someone says your fee is too high, our job is to diffuse and re-engage, not overcome. So what we say instead is we say, you're absolutely right. It can be perceived as high if you haven't had a chance to actually use the process to get the result you're looking for, to justify making this happen. No doubt about that. You're absolutely right about that. Would you be open to looking at this from a different perspective to see how we can build a business case for this so it makes sense for you? Would you be open to that?
Yeah, that makes sense. You're not combative with it. You're not, you know, pushing them away in a sense or anything like that. You're simply redirecting them to a different path of thinking about it, you know, giving them a new perspective of how to look at it. And so that again, I think that's easier said than done in the moment. I think, you know, it takes some discipline and it takes some emotional intelligence to do that. So how does somebody develop themselves to be in a position to where they can really do that well? What thoughts or tips do you have on how to do that?
Well, that's the mindset shift that we teach, and it takes some detoxing, because you got to detox from this tension that you're carrying. So the reason why we have to react to that, because we put what I call sales armor on around us. We tee ourselves up. We get ready for battle, and we react in the moment, because we're not being centered in ourselves, you see, because we're getting ready for the bullets. We're getting ready for the fight. And so we're teed up, and there's so much tension inside of ourselves, and we're hoping to move things forward. The minute that pattern's broken, we freak out. We get defensive defenders. We overeducate. We do free consulting. We give stuff away. We lose ourselves. We lose our ability to be that doctor who diagnoses the problem. So to make that shift, you have to be willing, first of all, to let go of your own goal of the sale, to be 100% present in the other person's world. That's the Toby world. That requires coaching. That requires being open to learning. That requires starting again and saying, hey, you know what? I'm realizing I'm using old stuff from the 80s in 2022 or 2023, and I need to shift my mindset. I'll give you an example. Here's a classic one, which will probably resonate with some of your listeners. I'll ask all your listeners right now to remove one key phrase from the vocabulary as of today and never, ever, ever use it ever again in their sales life. And here it is. If you've been in sales for a long time, this might hurt just a bit. I'm going to ask all your listeners to never again use the phrase follow up ever again as of this recording. Now, if I ask your listeners to raise their hand and say who used that phrase in the last few weeks on email or a phone call, I'm sure most people would raise their hand. Because what's the only industry in the world that uses the word follow up typically? Sales, exactly. And here we are, heart-centered entrepreneurs who want to help people with a why and a mission to change the world, but our languaging still screams, hi, I'm giving you a call to move things forward towards my goal. We're sleepwalking, and not even knowing it, we're breaking the pattern and losing our opportunity because of our old languaging still embedded in our subconscious from the past. So there's some other classic ones too. Remember the old ones? I'm giving you a call to touch base. Remember that one? There's also other one, giving you a call to check in. These are classic 1980s that we still use and don't even realize it. It's killing our trust abilities. So here's what you say instead. I'm giving you a call to see if you have any feedback from our previous conversation. Any feedback from our last meeting? Any feedback from a proposal? See, feedback's not going forward. Feedback's going backwards, away from the goal. And by doing that, you remove the resistance from the process. And then what happens is when you say to somebody, I'm just giving you a call to see if you have any feedback from our previous conversation, you know what they start doing? They start telling you the truth. You'll be shocked when they start talking and talking and talking. You're like, oh my God, this guy was right. If I could just change my thinking and change my languaging, I can help people feel comfortable telling me their truth rather than playing the game with ghosts who I never know or stand with. That's the shift we're talking about.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's, again, feedback activates the mind. It gets people to think about, well, here's what we could have done, or here's what I am missing, or here's what I don't know yet, right? Here's the objection that I haven't told you. I mean, all that stuff starts to come out. And again, you're letting them be part of the process. You're letting them support what they're helping to create. So it makes a lot of sense to me. And I hope it does to all of you listening. I mean, there's been some really unbelievable kind of just
nuances that Arya showed today, little changes that make such a big difference. You know, you have another book that you've written, The One Call Sale. I was really interested in this because everybody hears, oh, one call sale. I can make a sale on one call. How do I do that? I don't necessarily think it's I make one call and get a sale. Now, that might happen sometimes, but explain your philosophy on that. Explain why that's so important to understand.
Well, that's my new book I'm working on now called The One Call Sale, which is the pinnacle of my work over 20 years. It's the best of my methodology that only my clients are accessing now. And the whole idea behind that is that this is really designed for a scheduled Zoom conversation with someone, right? Like through LinkedIn or referral, and they agree to a Zoom call with you. This is what that one call sale process walks you through, a refined model that removes resistance at hello and allows you to onboard somebody on one conversation. Now, if you work for a big company, you have multiple sales decision makers, sure, it's going to be more steps than that, but you'll get an agreed upon a next step in the process from this. But the idea behind the one call sale model is that your goal is to strip out all the relationship building at hello with people. And with bedside manner and empathy, like a doctor, you want to really, what I call, go down the iceberg with people. The iceberg means at the top of the iceberg, they only give you the surface level problems they have. Below the iceberg is when you unpack their issues, you peel the onion back, and you get to a deep level with them where they feel that they own their own problem and they ask you for help. It's like a therapist and a patient. If the patient doesn't own their own problem, they're the worst patients in the world. Right. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you show up for a Zoom call with someone for the first time, and there could be an opportunity for you, you know, you check them out, and the call begins. Typically, how these calls start, as you might know, nowadays people show up in Zoom, it's usually a lot of rapport building. Hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. Where are you from? What do you do? What do we do? It's kind of like this sort of, you know, let's be friends thing. And it gets really messy after that. Usually at the end, you get things like, I want to think about it. Sounds great. Send me information. Now you're in chasing mode. Now you're stuck. So in our process, we don't do that. When the call begins, we obviously say hello, nice to meet you, you know, some basic niceties. Then we put the ball in their court, and we say this. We say, if it's okay with you, ask permission. Can we take a step back for a moment? And can you walk me through a little bit about your background, your story, your business challenges, and your issues, and we'll go from there. Would that be okay with you? That's the doctor immediately x-raying the patient's problem. And then, of course, they want to talk about themselves. And all of a sudden, you've put the ball in their court. Now they're just downloading, opening up to you about their situation, their background, their challenges, their problems. And then you go down the iceberg with questions that I came up with, the process where you start to peel back their problems and you unpack their issues, right? Let's just say they say to you, I don't know, in your world, whatever they may say to you, let's just say someone says, yeah, my biggest challenge right now is getting new clients, right? Normally, you know, we'd say things, oh, okay, well, I can help you with that. You know, I've got a great process and we go right into sales mode, or we educate them for free. Describing our solutions, educating them, because we think our job is to over-deliver on value, which is wrong. Your job is not to give value to people pre-sale. Your job is to provide clarity with them on their problems. Very different. No free consulting. So when someone says, yeah, my biggest challenge is getting new clients, then what we might say is, we might say, can you tell me a little bit more about that? How long has it been a problem for? Was the impact to your business so far with this issue? What have you done so far to solve it? And here's a profound question below the iceberg, and that is this one. I'll leave you with this. Is this a priority for you to solve once and for all? Or is it something you're happy to live with and let it go for now? This is the doctor unpacking the problem. That's the beginning of what I call the one call sale process, which eliminates all sales resistance.
Misfits, you heard me say earlier, people really resist their own ideas. And when I first heard this, that phrase, I didn't know what it actually meant. And what Ari just described is what that actually means and how to get to that. And it's the surface level questions don't give you the real challenges and things that need to be solved. It's the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth level questions that really get it. And a lot of times, and remember this, people, businesses, they don't get what they want because they don't know what they want. And a lot of times you got to take them down that journey to where they think it through and think it through and think it through to arrive at, you know what, this is what I really need. And that's where that second, third, fourth, fifth level in this kind of prescription type questioning that, that Ari's talking about helps you to get to those ideas. So, you know, once you understand that, then it makes it very easy to sell because, well, in reality, it's their ideas anyways. Hey, you know, you talked about this is the main problem. Well, let's talk about how we can solve that together. Right. And here's how we can potentially move forward. What do you think? Right. Bring a man back into it. So I really understand this methodology and the way that you look at this, because you're, like you're saying, the sales one in the beginning, it's one at hello. So the first call is actually the most important part of the sales process. That's where you're going to win. And then you do well in that first call. Then really it's just, okay, we've got the diagnosis, now we need to prescribe the things for it together and work on that, right? Do I have that right?
Yes, absolutely right. Now, there's more behind that, but that's the core of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead, share a little bit more then.
No, that's the core of it. And then we go into another model. When you go to the bottom of the iceberg, then you take them down a roadmap. You take them down a process from there where you show them how you solve their problem without selling your solution. That sounds crazy, what I just said. You show them how you solve their problem without selling your solution. We've created a meta step called the roadmap process where you visually show people what your model is for solving their problem that onboards people right away. So yeah, that's a condensation of what I do, condensed into a little nugget for you. But the core of the one call sale is to learn how to stop talking about you and your solution. And that's the hardest part of all. Because you live in your world of what you do, and you can, when you sense an opportunity, we can't wait to help somebody. We're like, oh, I can help you with that. Oh yeah. And your brain goes, he's qualified, he's perfect. And our system shifts to the next step right away when we sense the opportunity, which is such a mistake. Your job is not to move them forward. Your job is to move them down the iceberg where they ultimately say this to you. They say, how can you help me? That's where the sale is made, at the bottom of the iceberg, not down your sales process.
No, that makes total sense, especially in context of everything we've talked about today. You know, we're getting close to the end of our time and your Misfit 3, but I just want to know, is there anything else from the sales aspect or just business aspect that, you know, you feel is really important that our listeners should know that we haven't covered yet?
Well, I think it's important for you to let go of the idea that your job is to educate prospects in your sales process. They don't want to think about information and process it. That's giving them work to do. In fact, they don't want work to do. They don't want to be educated. What they're really asking themselves the whole time with you is not, do I want to buy a solution? What they're asking themselves is this: is he the one I can trust to solve my problem? When you understand that, you begin to realize your solution is not the priority right now. It's them trusting you first as a priority.
Yeah, they're going to have to trust you before they're going to buy the solution from you. I totally agree. And that's a great way to end it before we get to your Misfit 3. We're going to take just one more 1 minute break, and we'll be right back with Ari's Misfit 3. Misfit entrepreneurs, I want to take a quick moment to tell you about a free resource I've created for you. After interviewing hundreds of the top entrepreneurs in their fields throughout the world, as well as looking at my own experience, I asked a simple question. What are the top most important lessons, habits, and traits that successful entrepreneurs practice? It was a really hard exercise as there are so many things, but I wanted to find the ones that were the most consistent across these amazing people. I started with about 30 lessons and narrowed them down to the top 10 and put it into a free ebook for you. It's called The Top 10 Lessons to Thrive and Succeed. The book shares each lesson with concrete examples and action steps of how you can implement them in your life. To get it, all you have to do is go to www.misfitentrepreneur.com/lessons. That's www.misfitentrepreneur.com/lessons. The lessons are proven to work time and time again, and my goal is for you to be able to use them to help you reach your next level in your life and your entrepreneur journey. So go out, grab your copy, and feel free to send me a note, as I'd love to hear your feedback and which lesson is your favorite. Here's to your success. Okay, it's time for Ari's Misfit 3. These are the three things that he wants you to take that you can put in your business, your life, make a difference for yourself starting today. And the way that I always frame this to every guest that comes on the show is I say, hey, look, if you were going to leave this earth tomorrow and you could only leave behind the three most important pieces of wisdom to the generations that come after you to help them live their best life, what would those be? So, Ari, what are your Misfit 3?
The first one is stop selling. Build trust instead. The second one is be the doctor and diagnose their problem. And the last one is, right from Toby, is be present with them in their world so you don't slip out of it into your world.
All right, that's an excellent Misfit 3, and that last one from Toby, it can be used in all areas of life. I love it. If people do want to learn more about you, where should they go?
Best place to go is unlockthegame.com and grab a copy of my book there, and there's a free masterclass you can access to as well. And on LinkedIn, I have a show once a month called Stump the Guru, where you can jump on live and ask me a live sales question, your toughest one you cannot solve on your own. And so connect with me on LinkedIn, say hello, and I'll let you into that show.
Excellent. We'll link to all that in the show notes, the best show notes in the business, so people can find it. And I'll talk more about why they're the best in a second. But first, for those of you that are new to Misfit Nation, it is such an honor to have you with us. And I hope you have loved what you've heard here. I hope you become a regular listener and a subscriber. And for all of you that are with us week in and week out, I cannot thank you enough for your support of the show. You are what makes this go in over 160 countries every single week. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And then make sure and go out and check out the show notes for this episode. They are the best in the business. Why? Because I do them myself as part of my personal growth routine. I go back to these episodes every single week and I take the best insights and tips and you know, glean the best things that I can from people like Ari, and then I share them with you. So go ahead and check those out. And then go out and give this episode a rating and review. Help share Ari's message. Because we all know, and I say this in every episode, one great episode can change someone's life. Maybe something that Ari shared today was that missing link you were looking for to get to your next level. So go ahead and go out and give this a rating review and share it with others. And then Ari, thank you so much for coming on, sharing all of your wisdom and insight today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for attending this episode of The Misfit Entrepreneur. We look forward to seeing you in further episodes. If you haven't done so, make sure you definitely check out The Misfit Minute. You can access it right from our site. Every Friday, you get some of the best tips and tricks from some of the top Misfit entrepreneurs out there doing their thing. We look forward to seeing you in next week's edition. And in the meantime, have some fun.